Exodus chapter 20 at verse 12, this is the holy, inerrant, and infallible word of God. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then continuing in God's holy word from Colossians 3 at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you, and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you, friends, what are some signs as you look around this life in this country of ours, Canada Day tomorrow, lots of festivities going on, lots of good times had by all. But as you look around in our culture, what are some signs in our country, our Western culture, or even in the world, that really show you, that really prove to you how far societies have gone from God? How morally corrupt people have become? Or maybe even at times, things that make you wonder how near the coming of the Lord must be. What are some things that come to mind that really show those kinds of things? I think it wouldn't take long to amass a very sad and sordid and sinful list of things that you see all around you. You know, there are several passages in the Bible which list for us particular marks of the outworking of what the Bible calls the reprobate mind, the mind given over in sin. What comes out of a reprobate mind? Well, Romans 1, verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave them over to a reprobate or a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Or another list in 2 Timothy 3, where Paul says to Timothy, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Did you notice that in both those passages, right in the middle, the Holy Spirit identifies sins related to the fifth commandment as indisputable evidence of the serious sinfulness of the world? Of all the things that might have come into your mind when I asked you the question of a depraved, reprobate culture, did disobeying parents make the list? It does in the Bible. It does in the Bible. We've been considering this fifth commandment for a couple of weeks together. I have three prayers for me and for you all as we've considered all of God's law, but now, tonight, for the third time, this fifth commandment. I pray that by God's word and spirit that we are growing in our awareness of the depth of God's law, how much it deals with, how expansive and intensive is its light, and how personal and penetrating is the application, and how much we come away convicted of our own sin and the sin of our congregation and the sins of our country. But I pray too that we would then be seeing and trusting and resting in the blood and righteousness of Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, the perfect law-keeping Redeemer, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, who reconciles God to us and us to God, our Creator, our Lawgiver and Judge, and even more in the Gospel, our Father in heaven. And my third prayer is that after coming to Christ, that we would return to the law of God and say, oh, how I love your law. It is my study all the day. And that by God's grace and spirit, each one of us would say, I will run in the way of your commandments, for you have enlarged my heart. That we would say, Lord Jesus, I love you. And you said to your people, if you love me, keep my commandments. Lord Jesus, I love you. I want to keep your commandments. They are not burdensome to me. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And as I abide in Christ and his word, as the word of Christ dwells in me richly, I want to bear much good fruit, which I know will be pleasing to you. So with those three prayers echoing in our ears and permeating our thoughts, we come again to this fifth commandment. We've already had two sermons on the fifth commandment. It made me think we're sort of circling around it. We've been circling around this commandment, surrounding it in smaller and smaller circles until now, tonight, we've arrived at the heart of this commandment, the basic commandment itself. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Tonight we'll consider the precept, and next time, Lord willing, the promise. Can't take it all tonight. There's too much here. There's just too much. So tonight, this precept of the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. Boys and girls, do you have that commandment memorized? Should I ask the big people if they have it memorized? You probably do, but do you know what it means? It's good to have it memorized, but it's better to know what it means. We have to know what it means. Honor your father and your mother. What does the word honor mean? The Hebrew word basically means heavy. Heavy or weighty. Because we think, even in English, of weighty things as important things, worthy of consideration. Ultimately, this same word is used of God and the glory of God, the most weighty reality that exists in the universe. It's used in Psalm 86:12. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. Same root word, glorify, as the word here for honor, weighty. It's used in that name Ichabod when the glory had departed. Here's the word. And so this weighty reality comes to mean, in different contexts, to honor or to revere, to have the proper reverence toward, to value, and to respect. One modern preacher paraphrased it in light of the origin of this word, give your parents a ton of respect. It's a weighty thing. This fifth commandment has echoes in the New Testament. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So that helps us to understand what honor means. Because do you see the word change? Honor your father and your mother, Exodus 20:12. Ephesians 6, 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, that we've heard tonight. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Why is the fifth commandment a commandment that is one to be obeyed? Because it's right. And because it pleases the Lord. Now, in Colossians 3:20, did you hear what Paul wrote there? Children, obey your parents in everything. In everything. Now, that everything may have two senses, perhaps. In every way and in every possible situation. In everything. Children are to honor mother and father in everything, in every way, in how we act. And we act in different ways. One of the most important ways are the words we speak. We considered that this morning. Let your conversation be filled with grace. How important the words that we speak are. Well, here is a way that we can act in our words, and we are to have respectful language toward our parents. Genesis 31:35, Rachel called her father Adon, Lord. We are to take mind and be careful about even our looks, the way that we look at our parents, the faces we can make. In Proverbs 30:17, it says, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns an aged mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. The look on your face is important. Now, only God fully knows the heart, but looks are connected to our hearts more than we often realize. And others often see it better than we do. Sometimes my parents, when we were growing up and we were not in a good way and it was showing on our face, my mom would say to me, you go look in the mirror right now. And you look at what I'm looking at. Because it comes out on your face, doesn't it? Don't we see that right away in the beginning of the Bible? Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? Cain, there's something wrong in your heart. God says, I see it on your face. Well, we need to watch out, kids. Honor your father and your mother involves looking at them. The rolling eyes Do you know the rolling eyes? Mom or dad say something and the eyes roll. That's not honor. That's not honoring. Looks are important. The listening ear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom instruction, it says in Proverbs 1. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. A way to honor in everything is to listen to parents. Because we all have the temptation of being wise in our own eyes. You have to remember, kids, that your parents were your age once. You have never been their age now. Give them the benefit of the doubt and listen to them. It says in Proverbs 4, the father speaking to the son says to the son, "For I too was a son." See, he says, "I've been in your place before. I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you'll live.'" Listen. There are actions that show honor or dishonor, aren't there? Have you ever noticed Leviticus 19:32? Stand up in the presence of the aged and show respect for the elderly and revere your God. See how they're connected? I am the Lord. Stand up in the presence of the aged. You know, that's a thing that I think is just faded from our Western culture. There used to be a time when a parent or someone older would come in, you'd stand up. When a lady would come in, you'd stand up. I don't know if people stand up and give up their seats on the bus anymore for anybody. But that's what it says in Leviticus 19:32. I wonder, as we think about the law of God and the law, moral and ceremonial and civil, where that one fits in. Stand up in the presence of the aged. You know, Timothy Edwards, the grandfather of Jonathan Edwards, the well-known British American theologian and pastor, once exhorted people in his day, the end of the 1600s, to remember to remove their hats when they met their pastors on the street. Some of the elders and pastors here are saying, "It's about time." No, we're not looking for that. We're not looking for that necessarily. I don't think we are. But do you see what he was getting at? Our actions can express honor. Does reflect an understanding of honoring in action. We are to obey, children are to honor their mother and father in everything. That means in their old age as well, when parents get older. Now, godly parents take care of their children, short and long term. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children." That's a good thing to do. But there often comes a time when the situation is reversed. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. And I know many of you are doing that, and it's good. It's good. It's right. And it pleases the Lord. And it's a testimony in this world. A world and a culture of increasing elder abuse and elder neglect. And people shuffled off somewhere never to be thought of again. But it's good to take care of parents. And sometimes the way we take care of them, we need to be wise about that. It doesn't mean you have to have your mom or your dad in your home, and if you don't have them in your home, you're a neglectful son or daughter. We pray and make choices with them for the best care that we can give them, whatever that may be. But we do it. So we're not like the Pharisees in this regard when Jesus said to them, but you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is devoted to God, and then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. That was wrong. Jesus says, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. Well, and Colossians says, of course, in everything, obey. Obedience. Obeying. Doing what you're asked to do. Not doing what you're asked not to do. In everything. Obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in everything. What do you think about that? Well, some of you, I think, I'm guessing, are probably already, some of you young children, are probably already good enough theologians. You know your Bibles already well enough that when I say, children, obey your parents in everything, you're waiting for me to go on to the exceptions, the qualifications. The reason that everything doesn't literally mean everything. It couldn't mean everything. But don't jump too quickly to that. 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, in usual everyday life, especially those of you who have the blessing of godly Christian parents, it is not the exception, but the everything that is important. Obey your parents in everything. So children, teens, young people, this is God's word to you. This is His holy, good law. It's right, and it's pleasing to Him. Let me ask you, are you submitting to God? And so showing that by submitting to your father or your mother in everything. Would that be the conclusion of someone visiting your home? Wow, those children, they honor their mother and their father. They obey their parents in everything. Would that be the conclusion of someone visiting your home? What if I were able to make myself invisible? You know, there's an ancient story of a ring. You put it on and you turn invisible. It's just a story. But what if I had an invisible ring, a ring of invisibility? And I could put it on and be invisible and go to your house and see what goes on. See, I see what happens here at worship. Sometimes I go to your houses, but when I go, you see me, so you know I'm there. But what if I were invisible? What would I see? What would I hear? What wouldn't I see? What wouldn't I hear? But of course, that's a bit silly, because I can't become invisible. But the invisible God is always in your home. And He always knows even what's in your heart. Because you can get away with it sometimes. You can obey on the outside and still be very rebellious on the inside. Well, that's children and their parents, but what about the ways that this commandment expands to other areas of authority and submission that we've considered previously? Because fathers and mothers are pictures or analogies of authority in every area of life. What about in the state, to the government? Honor your father and your mother. We are called to honor those that God has put in authority over us. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So, boys and girls, this isn't, again, just a commandment for you. Well, Pastor Kingswood was just preaching to us kids tonight, and all the big people could just sit there and listen to what we kids have to do. That's not the way it is at all. God's word is for all of us. And here it's for governments and how we as citizens of heaven, yes, but then citizens of Canada or whatever country you're a citizen of, to honor and respect the authorities that are over us. And it applies in the church. Hebrews 13 says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over your souls as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. So you see how this includes so much. From speeding in your car, right? Speeding, to cheating on your taxes with regard to the government, from being an individualistic Christian or Christian couple or Christian family, to ignoring the elders' counsel in the church, the fifth commandment is a sharp double-edged sword, and it pierces. It pierces. What kind of honor is owed to those over us? Whether you're a child or a big person, those over us, this is larger Catechism 127, those over us deserve respect in our hearts, our words, and our actions. We must pray and give thanks for them. We must imitate their virtues and gifts, willingly heed and obey their lawful commands and advice, submit to their correction, be faithful to them, and defend and support their persons and authority as is appropriate to their rank and position. We must also tolerate their imperfections and infirmities and cover them with our love, so that we will be an honor to them and their authority. And what are the particular sins against those in authority by those under them? The sins of those under authority against those over them are any failure to perform what is required by them, being envious of them, holding them in contempt, or rebelling against them, or their position as reflected in their lawful advice, commands, and correction, cursing at or making fun of them, or any kind of stubborn resistance and disgraceful display that brings shame and dishonor to their person and authority. Honor your father and your mother. There's lots there prayerfully to consider. But there was a very important word in both those answers. It was the word lawful. Lawful. Only God's authority is absolute. Any human authority is delegated authority, and it is responsible to God and accountable to God. That's why it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands in the Lord. A vow of church membership, do you promise to submit in the Lord to the leadership and government of this church? It's always in the Lord. It must be lawful. And so when it's unlawful, that's one of the exceptions to the everything, isn't it? But then it begs a very practical question. How does a child honor a father or mother when that parent is dishonorable or does something unlawful? Because the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say honor your father, mother and father, if. Even if they are dishonorable in different ways, there is still an honor due to them. It may not be a complete obedience to them, as we'll see, but there's still an honor to be given. How does a child honor a mother or father when that parent is dishonorable? Well, we can generalize, and I think it's helpful. How does a Christian submit to an unbeliever? Because that's true. We have to live that out. We are citizens of Canada. We have a prime minister who's not a believer. How do I submit to an unbeliever? It's a good question. Well, the situation that we face in the church and the situation that we face, especially in the state, may help us to understand what ought to be happening in families where this is the case. Remember in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings, you rather than man." So when the church commands something that God forbids or forbids something that God commands, a faithful Christian says we must obey God rather than man. George Mueller of orphanage fame, George Mueller's father wanted George, his son, to get a respectable job like being a lawyer and not throw away his life as a Christian missionary. And the father, his father, quoted the fifth commandment to George. "If you really honored me, you'd be a lawyer." But George needed to obey God rather than man. But think of government. This, I think, is especially helpful. Romans 13 says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Now, Paul, writing that in the first century, was writing underneath the authority of the Roman emperors. Nero, who was a mad butcher, who had aberrations, moral aberrations and abominations that wouldn't be fit to repeat here tonight. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. And we should obey wherever we can. Give taxes to whom taxes is due. Honor to whom honor is due. How can we honor even evil governments? That's a good question for us. Well, 1 Timothy 2. "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." How can we honor even unbelieving or ungodly, unlawful authority? Pray. You pray for them. That's how you can honor them still. You can still use respectful language. And so if you write a letter, when you write Mr. Trudeau, you don't begin your email or begin your letter, you don't say, "Now you listen to me, you little whatever." You address him as the Right Honorable Prime Minister. Because that's what he is. It may not be truly who he is, right or honorable, but it's what he is. And so we use respectful language. Listen to 1 Peter 2:18. "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." Wow. So children with sinful parents, pray for your parents. Be respectful to your parents. And only disobey when it is a clear issue of biblical conscience for you not to do what a parent might command or to do what a mom or dad might forbid. If a mom or dad would ever say to you, "Don't pray anymore," you have to say, "I must pray." "Don't go to worship." "I have to go to worship." "I want you to lie for me." "I must not." "I want you to do something wrong in God's eyes." "I cannot." And even if our mother or father might sin against us greatly, how can we live out this fifth commandment? This isn't theoretical. there can be a righteous anger over the sin itself and the consequences itself that can't be dishonoring. But in Ephesians, we read, in your anger, do not sin. So instead, pray. Confront the sin. Maybe asking the other parent or the elders or someone else to help you to do that. Urging repentance in that parent. Being ready to forgive when repentance and the fruit of repentance is clearly seen. That's what you can do. And that's right. And it pleases the Lord. And it's honoring. But is it easy? Is it natural? No. It's supernatural. It's heavenly fruit from the Holy Spirit. Real biblical submission is a fruit that only truly grows on the gospel tree, on a branch united to Christ. You know, we all sin and fall short of God's glory in this respect. I said last time, Sabbath and submission, those two middle positive commandments, Sabbath and submission, show our hearts so clearly. We all sin and fall short of God's glory in this respect. Why? Because we are the children of our first father, Adam, who in Eden did not honor and obey his heavenly father in everything. But he plunged us all into sin. And as God called out to Adam, he's calling out to you tonight. In light of this commandment, where are you? Where are you? You've been listening to all this. Where are you? Where's your heart? How does this fifth commandment show my heart toward God? Not just toward other people, to my parents or my elders or my government, but God. Well, thinking of that even for a moment, we all need to look to Christ, the best beloved Son. And what a marvel it is, isn't it, to behold the God-man in our human nature, in our circumstances and our relationships. He was made like us in every way, yet without sin. Sometimes we think that submission is not necessary when we are smarter, when we know more, or we're more mature or more godly than the person who is in authority over us. And we mutter to ourselves, well, who is he or who is she that I should submit to him or to her? Well, we just need for a moment to think about Jesus, don't we? Is it strange to think that Jesus was actually more intelligent than any other human being that's ever lived? I don't think that's unreasonable to think. But he submitted. He was certainly more holy and more godly than anyone on the earth. And he submitted. He was a sinless child, a perfect sinless church member, a sinless citizen, and yet he submitted in all righteousness to mere fallen human beings. Have you thought of it? It's remarkable. He submitted to mere fallen, sinful human beings as his parents, his elders, and his government, as he also much more submitted to his heavenly Father. He obeyed his parents, the perfect Son of God. He went to the synagogue and was submissive to the elders of the synagogue, the Son of God. And he gave taxes to whom taxes is due. King of the universe. Luke 2:51 says of Jesus, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them," Mary and Joseph. "And his mother treasured all these things in her heart." That word obedient means submission, submitted. He submitted to them. The God-man submitted, and he did that as our righteousness. He did it in our place for us. And he submitted ultimately to the cross for our forgiveness. What a wonder. We need to see that refusal to be biblically submissive in all kinds of relationships is a mark of human sin and pride. We are stiff-necked. We don't want to bow the knee or the heart or the mind. We want to choose our own way and think that God must submit to our will and our wisdom. So we read, "The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." I can preach the fifth commandment to myself and to you till I'm blue in the face, till my tongue is worn down to a stump. And apart from the grace of God, you cannot submit to it. And you will not. You will want your own way. Some of you are there. Deep down, you just want your own way. "Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." That's the great submission, to bow the knee before Jesus. Say, "I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord Jesus." Well, friends, we spend a lot of time here in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Submission, godly submission to authority. But let me ask you again, have you really submitted to God, to Christ? Because until then, no call to obey your parents or your politicians or your pastors utterly matters at all. What good is it if you outwardly honor everyone but lose your soul? But if you are submitted to Jesus, he will forgive and he will help in every other human relationship to give honor where honor is due. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church, his body, which is his Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And in Ephesians 5, Paul goes on to talk about slaves and masters and children and parents. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble." Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, in the gospel, beloved, in Christ, this fifth commandment, how life-transforming it is. How family-transforming. How congregationally-transforming. How country-transforming obedience to the fifth commandment will be. Submitting in biblical obedience to others is a sign of having submitted to the Lord and his anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is true freedom. That is life. We have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live.